Guess what? I'm me.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm me.
Yeah, and I'm me.
Yeah, I'm me, but...
Yeah, but what difference does it make? Because here's the man.
Well, who are you?
I'm Margaret Gray. That's Robert Leonard. That's...
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm General Galen Shaw.
Oh, well, you just don't want to...
Well, what's the point, Phil? Because you're me and I'm you and...
All right, so we're starting off again with an identity crisis here on The Phil Hendry Show.
No, it's not an identity crisis. It's... I think the program needs to start off with something. What is this garbage?
Wiz Khalifa, are you out of your mind or something?
What is guy?
Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, not this ass. Just hold on. So you were saying...
Turn it down, will you, before I rip it out of the wall. Thank you. What I'm saying is I think we need a new way to introduce the program... so that I'm not going through these changes. You know, I understand, Phil, you don't think that I should be. You think that I should, quote, suck it up like a big girl.
Well, you're the one said suck.
Oh, you're a...
Hey, my God!
Get off.
Well, you are so lucky Phil's here.
But you're the one that said the word.
That was great.
I didn't say suck in the way...
Will you guys just shut up? What do you mean?
What I mean is the following. We need to begin a different kind of intro to the program. For instance, you introduce the show, and then you say, here's Margaret Gray.
Yeah, what about that, Phil? It's fine. I mean, I just thought I would have you guys do it as a way of, you know, giving you an opportunity.
Well, what difference does it make if we're made-up people, figments of your imagination?
Yeah, what about that? What difference does it make if we're made-up people, figment of the imagination?
No, figments of his imagination. You're not figments of my imagination. Figments of an imagination are... Well, you forget about what you are, okay? If you want me to intro the show...
Well, let me think about it.
Yeah, you know, that's a big, big move for Margaret to take herself out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't we funny? So is that it, huh?
Yeah, you know.
So you think I'm a big ego case that I sit here... Jesus.
Well, you know, Margaret, I've been meaning to say something here. I think we all have. You really think you're something, don't you?
Phil, do you agree with this?
I'm staying out of it, okay? I'm staying out of it.
Say that again.
I said I have been talking about it with Dickman and with Robert, and we think you think you're some kind of a real big deal. You think you're all this. Well, you ain't none of that.
Oh, is that right? Well, it just so happens I'm the only... Forget it. You know what? All of you, as I'm so fond of saying...
We can hang it in your ass.
Hang it in my ass?
Hey, you coming after me?
No. I was going to reach around you and get the cream.
Uh-huh. All right. That's enough. So...
I'll remember that, General. As long as I live, I'll remember that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah? So what? Is that supposed to scare me?
Hey, what is this all about?
No. She's talking like she's all this. Well, she ain't none of that.
No. What is it with you? You're all this and you ain't none of that.
We just noticed that you insist on this, insist on that.
Well, if you like, then I'll walk off this show and I will...
All right, don't start bawling, okay?
Fuck all of you.
She just said the F word.
Hey, what is... Why are you bugging her?
I don't know. It just seemed like the thing to do, you know? There she is, just...
Yeah, well, you bored?
What even am I... Look at this guy letting me take the heat.
What are you guys just... Hey, Margaret.
I think all of you...
So, welcome to the program. We got Drama Man every damn day.
I just don't think it's very good.
All right, I'm sorry I made you cry, Margaret, but God.
No, I mean, I was thinking all this and ain't none of that.
Would you knock it off with all this and ain't none of that?
Well, I guess these guys have got a complaint, so how do you guys want to work this thing out?
I don't know.
Just all I'm saying is, why don't you intro the show and take the spotlight away from Margaret so she's not lording it over everybody and she's all, yeah, look at me. I used to be a singer.
Yes, I did used to be a singer. What did you used to be? You were a soldier, which is fine, and I admire that, but I was a singer. I was an entertainer. I'm the only one of the one, two, three, four. Not counting Phil. I'm the only one of the one, two... I'm the only...
The four.
I'm the only one of the four of you. No, the four of us. Oh, man.
You're the only one of the four of them with any entertainment experience.
Exactly. Thank you. And I was... By the way, I just talked to John Jerryman.
Oh, and how is he doing?
Oh, look at you. Are you all friendly now? And,
No, I'm just...
Yeah, I, General, you're bugging me a little bit here.
Why?
Because you came in here loaded for bear.
I don't know. You know, I'm telling you right now that I try to deal, but when she's in here with the whole, yeah, I'm all this,
And you ain't none of that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, now that you guys have got that off your chest...
Yes, thank you, Phil. John's doing fine, John, yesterday... And by the way, I set up your birthday... And I had him call in and sing, what an ass in the hat you are. You know that?
All right, well, yeah.
Don't you feel bad now?
Not really.
Yeah. I had him, and I talked to him, and I said, how are you doing? And he said, he's fine. And then I heard snoring, so...
What are you talking about?
He went to sleep on the phone.
You heard snoring?
Yes, I called him up. I said, how are you? And he said, I'm fine. And then all I heard was he was sawing logs, or whatever you call that.
You have said snoring?
Yes, he was snoring.
Okay, well, anyway, happy birthday there, John, wherever you are.
Well, he's not listening to you.
Oh, well, I'm so terribly sorry to have mentioned, you know...
Well, he's asleep right now, Phil.
Well, whenever he downloads this thing...
He doesn't know how to download things.
Yeah, you're talking about an old man, Phil.
So nobody's going to teach him how to download...
Why would he want to... He's 83 years old, Phil. He doesn't need to download anything. He needs to unload a few things.
Woo! Very funny. All right, Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show traffic.
Let's see the traffic here with Bob Bacon.
Well, right now, they got that freeway. They got a drive last season. Right leg in the free front, the fast lane. Just laying out there on the fast lane. I got to get out there and wake Weston and make sure he doesn't have his hand up his grub head there. Going out the fast lane now. Because South Town is shamey, and they pound town is pounded downtown. And they're pounding it downtown again. Pull it out, zip it up, and bring it out. Turn out the Skyboy out there on the high line. I want a nanner. Uh-oh. First scored 7 years ago. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet man. Arete, a reggae tier corporation. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet man. Hi.
Jamie Rock's Emporium. Everything you want from hair curlers to barbells to Dance Dance Revolution to liquid butter. Anything you need is at Jamie Rock's Emporium. Hi, I'm Jamie Rock's, and since 1975, I've operated the Jamie Rock's Emporium here in downtown West Palm Beach. We have some of the finest things that you could buy, things that you can't find anywhere else, and stuff that is really amazing. If you just come to this store, you'll really like it. Oh, why didn't you get any air? Air costs, but we do have bags of air. $9.99. Jamie Rock's Emporium, downtown West Palm Beach. Take the Butler exit to Jamie Rock's Emporium.
Go to Jamie Rock's Emporium. You'll like it.
Jamie Rock's Emporium, 15 Buckner, downtown.
The latest Spellbinder from Liz Wilde says Mary McLaughlin of the Port St. Lucie Clarion. The latest romance novel from Liz Wilde. He came in the middle of the night and then left very quickly with my wallet. Liz Wilde has captivated generations of romance novel enthusiasts. People who enjoy a good, wonderful, warm love story. And yes, dismemberment murder mystery.
Liz Wilde, he came in the middle of the night, stayed for a while, and then took my purse. Available now at Burnsack Books. Liz Wilde, he came in the middle of the night and took everything, including my wallet, at Burnsack's Records and Books, and also at the Toiletry. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. From the El Pacifico here in Southern California, we have... Jeff Dowder on the line with us. Jeff Dowder, who's covering some the snowboarding culture for us here. I just noticed there was... what is that?
That's the Life Proof...
Yeah, the Life Proof competition of the snowboarding.
Is that the X Games or...
No, I think it's just the regular snowboard competition.
Well, Jeff Dowder checking in with us here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from Temple City, California. And, Jeff, you spent a fair amount of time... covering some snowboarding events and just kind of covering the snowboard culture. It's good to have you with us, because the reason why we have you on is I hear that snowboard culture is on the decline. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I may not be the person to ask about that, if snowboard culture on the decline or not, but definitely you're hearing about it, you know. You're hearing about it, and you're hearing about it from a variety of quarters.
Well, who's talking about it?
Well, a lot of the colleges, like, are saying that most of the ski board, like, first of all, skiing is back, okay? I mean, skiing is back, there's no question about it, and skiing's back, there's no question about it.
All right, skiing's back, and there's no question about it. What effect has that had on snowboarding?
Well, the snowboarders are getting pushed out again by skiers. And the other thing is snowboarders have gotten older. A lot of the snowboarding that was being done like right at the beginning of the 2000s, you know, about the 2000s?
Yeah, to the beginning of the century.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I just...
Do we know about the 2000s?
The 2000, meaning around the year 2000.
Yeah, right around the year 2000. The snowboarders that were starting out then are now older. They have families. They have commitments. They have interests. And they're just not ready to go out and go gonzo on a snowboard and risk everything by cracking up and going head first through a tree or something. I mean, they have kids. They have wives, they have husbands, and so it's much, and they're settling down.
The snowboarder's life and the lifestyle of professional, or not even professional, just the lifestyle of competitive snowboarders, is it party central? Is it, fairly go to bed early? What is it?
Well, I mean, it's a mix it depends on a competitor, but yeah, I mean, the culture around snowboarding has always been party time. You know, there's no two ways about it, and snowboarding's probably one of the few sports where you sort of have to look the other way, I think, when it comes to just, I'm not talking about heavy-duty drugs. I'm just talking about a little bit of smoke, you know, weed that they smoke.
All right, so you're telling me they smoke weed before they go out there and, see, that's, I can't abide that.
No, General, you know, listen about this, you know, because it's different.
Yeah, General, it's totally different culture from... Well, you're used to.
No, it doesn't make any difference. And, you know, a different culture, what does that mean? These guys are getting out there, they smoke their big, joints or whatever you call them, and then they go out, they're high, and they go and they skateboard. What are they? They're snowboarding.
Yeah, they're snowboarding.
All right, and they snowboard.
Snowboard!
They snowboard down the mountain, and they're high on these drugs. And I find that to be extremely dangerous.
Well, I think you're thinking, General, that these are hallucinogenic drugs.
Well, I'm not saying hallucinogenic, but these are people that they're high on the drugs, and aren't they seeing things?
Oh, what do you mean seeing things? It's not like they're going down the hill.
Well, they're seeing, because what Margaret said, hallucinating.
No. I mean, look, marijuana is not the entire snowboard culture. There's some... competitors and individuals that do, you know, smoke it, but you can't say that it's pervasive and everybody does it. And it's not like they're snowboarding down a hill and they see a gigantic creature, you know.
But what do you think they're hallucinating? I don't know what they're hallucinating. I'm just saying, if they're using these drugs and they are coming down the mountain, other skiers, I would say, or snowboarders are at risk.
No, but I mean, they may be at risk, but not because of a guy seeing something.
Well, you went, all right, so they're coming down, the snowboarders are coming down the side of the mountain.
Yeah, the snowboarders are coming down the side of the mountain.
Hold on for a minute, Jeff, if you don't mind. General, are you afraid that they're, because they smoke weed? And look, we're getting way off into weed here.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bring it up because and say, yeah, there's all this weed. I'm just saying there's a part of the culture that was into that aspect. You know?
Yeah, no, I understand, and you're saying it's on the way out. I'm just saying that when it was on the way in, and now that it's I know it's on the way, but when it was on the way in, were there individuals at risk from other individuals who are using this marijuana and were out of their minds, completely mentally out of their minds, wild, seeing wild visions? I don't know.
No, it's not.
General, you gotta understand, it's not like that.
Yeah, no, it's not like they're seeing wild visions.
Well, how do you know?
Talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Because I know, okay?
Look, we don't have to get into people's personal habits, all right? Let's just take their word for it.
Well, it's very suspicious, I think, that that you, all of you out there, would know about this.
Look, General, I mean, I will admit to you that I've smoked weed. Now, weed's not... You know, it used to be really a lot of people thought a bad drug, but no, it's not. There's a lot worse drugs.
I understand that. I still say it's a gateway drug. All right, I don't want to litigate the whole legalized marijuana thing. You say it's a gateway drug. It's not a gateway drug. But let's not argue.
Well, all right, Phil, but you don't get to have the last word, don't you? When you're out there snowboarding, I'm going to ask this kid. It's Jeff, right?
Yeah, it's Jeff Dowder.
All right, when you go out there snowboarding
and you smoke, you know, you blast your weed, or whatever you call it, and you go down the mountain, and then all of a sudden, out from behind a tree, and I know it's not real. I know it isn't real.
No, it doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't happen like that.
But how do you know? It doesn't happen for you. Why are you so intent on this? I'll tell you why, because I saw a lot of guys in the NOM, they love to smoke this, and I'd say to them, I find you one more time blasting that stuff up before we go out, you know, on patrol or something. So help me God, I'll leap out from behind a bamboo plant and go, wee! And you know what? You'll turn the gun on yourself. That's how weirded out you'll be, and how just forget it. You know, you don't even want to go on. That's what I think they should do with a lot of these snowboarders.
Wait. What are you talking about, man? Are you saying that
And by the way, don't call me man if you don't. I understand that that's your lifestyle. You know, but I still say you should have some respect.
Hey, wait. You're way too wound up in this.
General, what are you talking about?
What am I talking? I'm asking the question, are these guys on the snowboards high on the weed?
Oh, my God.
Let's just think.
I mean, do you want me to keep going here?
Hold on for a minute. Hey, General.
What?
Sit down. What's the story?
When I was in the NOM...
Yeah, you smoked some weed?
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
When I was in the NOM, somebody gave me a joint, and they said, listen, this will relax you. And I smoked it, and I, you know, looked in the mirror, and I saw an ape and everything.
Wait a minute, man. You smoked a... What? Say again, man.
See, right here. This kid, Doubter...
What happened?
When I was in Vietnam, and we were billeted, and we... Danang. And they said... guy says to me, what's here? Because we had been awake for some 72 hours, and he said, try it. So I smoked it, and I looked... I remember going around the corner. I was going to go get a beer... And I looked at the side in the reflection, and I saw like an orangutan going, ee! And I realized that, by God, that's me. That's me and what the weed has done to me.
No, General, how do you know one like a... They could have been a real monkey.
Yeah, if you say that one more time...
All right. Okay, so we believe it was you, but I mean, are you sure it was weed?
Yes, I know it was weed.
How do you know it wasn't like cured in something? Like it was I don't know. Cured in something.
Yeah, there was a lot of DMT weed going around back then.
What is that again?
There was a lot of DMT weed, and I know you're smoking up that black Vietnamese weed.
That's what there was. It was this black weed that we were smoking.
Right.
Well, you know, you've got me admitting things here that I don't want to admit.
All right, okay, but I mean, if you were smoking DMT weed, okay, all bets are off on that.
Well, what is DMT weed, okay, Jeff?
Yeah, what is that? Is that some? So that's the thing that makes you see an ape?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that, but there's definitely a hallucinogenic effect. Like, only one time and only one time will I say that I smoked DMT weed, and I felt like I was walking through the shallow end of a pool. And I was just walking down the street with some friends of mine, but it felt like I was having a slug through, like, 3 feet of water.
Man, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing I ever did here.
Yeah, really? I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that for love or money.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying it's possible that's what you got a hold of.
All right, General. So, you know, and thank you, by the way, for being forthcoming with us. I didn't mean to put you in a bad situation.
Well, I think, you know what, General? We had our differences this morning, but I do admire you for that. Your honesty, because it did seem that you were very much affected by what Phil was talking about. Although, will I ever forgive you for saying that I lorded over everyone like my... And I know what you wanted to say, like my...
All right, let's say it, like your shit doesn't stink.
Oh, come on.
Right there, what an animal.
Hey, sit down, will you?
I'm just going to say to you, General, that your experience is not reflective of the common weed experience. I think mostly people will smoke it and go, okay, that's great, let's have a candy bar or a cookie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about... What are you talking about? Have a candy bar? What does that mean?
But you smoke... When you smoke it...
You smoke...
Morgan, why don't you come over here?
All right, I'm just walking it off. When you smoke this marijuana, you get what's called the munchies.
That's what you're talking about. No way, my friend. I smoked this stuff, and I was just... And I saw bats flying out of the trees, and I saw flying, you know, flying men.
Shit. What do you mean saw flying men?
I saw a guy fly.
All right, when you say you saw a guy fly, was he in an airplane?
No, he was flying around.
All right, so you got a hold of some weed that was cured in some kind of hallucinogenic, like DMT, and You hallucinated.
Yeah, that sounds like it to me.
I was sitting on the bed, and I was sitting on someone's bunk, and I saw a pillow turn into a Persian cat and crawl up this guy's arm. Oh, man.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
No, so that's why you're weirded out about snowboarders possibly smoking the weed. Is that it?
Yes, because I'm afraid these guys are going down the hill on a snowboard, and they're going like a bat out of hell, and all they're seeing are flying apes and creatures coming. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, creatures coming out from behind a tree.
Yes, and you can kill someone when your mind is in that frame of mind.
Well, yeah, there's no question about it, but I can almost fully guarantee, nobody can really guarantee anything in this world, because new things are popping up all the time. If you're going to say, well, I guarantee this, and you say, I'm 1,000% sure, and guess what? They invented, like, let's just say, for instance...
Okay, we get the point, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I mean, I would say this. I don't guarantee it 100%, but I guarantee it 99.999% that, you know...
That what?
That the... What are we talking about?
99% that the weed you guys smoke when they're doing their snowboarding...
What do you mean, you guys?
What is the weed they're smoking?
99% that it's okay. And it's not the weed that you smoked it in Vietnam.
Yeah, the weed you smoked in Vietnam is more powerful than any weed. Probably before they ever had the powerful weed in California, they had power weed coming out of Vietnam.
Yeah, my older brother told me, man. He said the weed coming out of Vietnam was power weed. You know, General?
Yeah, whatever, power weed. All I'm telling you is, what I saw that night, after I took a couple of hits on this joint, and then had myself a tall boy... And I go to the can, and it's like, shit.
So you were violently hallucinating.
No, it wasn't. I wouldn't say violently. It was irritating me, all these goblins jumping out of my ears. I saw a goblin leap right out of the top kick's ear. This guy's walking over to me, and he's got some report or something. He says, that time I was a captain, says to me, Captain Shaw, I have this. I said, what the hell just came out of your ear? And he just looked at me and went, okay, and kept walking. That's when I had my first indication that there was something seriously wrong, either with him or with me.
When did you find out it was you?
Well, three guesses. I mean, I just smoked half of a joint. So I went, I took a leak, I got another beer, I sat down on the bunk, and then I thought, oh, yeah, I'm stoned.
Well, yeah, and that's when you figured out that what came out of the guy's ear was most likely, not 100%, but most likely not a guy.
Well, most likely?
Come on, Jeff, it was not a guy. What do you mean a guy?
I mean, whatever came out of the guy's ear.
A gremlin or something came out of the guy's ear.
All right, but you knew right away that wasn't real.
As I said.
You had to go get a beer and sit on your bunk and think about it.
Margaret, when you are high on the marijuana...
Don't, General, I won't say where and I won't say when, but I've had my experiences.
Ooh! Aha! So you lord it over everybody.
Let's get off this lord it over kick and let's quit trying to find fault with people.
I'm gonna remember that one.
Boy, you really have it in for me tonight.
Margaret, it's only fair.
What am I hearing here? Oh, just hearing, is that, what? Jeff, where are you?
I'm in a sawmill.
You're in a sawmill? What are you doing in a sawmill?
I'm here, my girlfriend's having some chairs made. We just came down to look at it.
Oh, that's what, so she's having the chairs made. Are these the chairs? Is this the Danish modern, right?
I don't know what it is. She was telling me about it the other day.
No, I know Jeff's girlfriend. So tell Candace that what I was telling her about was Ethan Allen, not...
It's Ethan Allen.
Anyway, she's having the chairs made.
Yeah, well, you could have bought it at Ethan Allen instead of having them made. What? Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry.
No, I don't want to hold on. Everybody's telling me to hold on around here. I will not hold on.
Just hold on. Ethan Allen, why are you having a chairs made? Why are you having a chairs made?
Said that to hold. He's not going to hold on.
Wait, are you having... Mr. Henry said... Yeah, Mr. Henry said you could buy it at Ethan Allen. What? What?
Okay, we're going to hang up on you.
Hold on. Yeah.
I'm hanging up right now.
Wait a minute. Really? Well, tell that guy...
Will you come on?
All right, sorry.
So anyway, I smoked this joint. The goblin came out of the guy's ear. Forget it.
All right, and obviously you were actively hallucinating, but what Jeff is saying, snowboarders, that's not happening to.
Yeah, and I really don't feel it's been fair to be devoting most of the conversation that we've had here this evening on the Phil Henry Show to snowboarders and weed. Because while I'm glad we devoted to snowboarders, but the portion that we devoted to weed, we should not have. Because snowboarders are very competitive, they're very athletic, you know, and they're very serious about their sport.
Well, I don't think that's what we intended to do, and I know, General, you didn't, but what you were saying is the safety is paramount.
Yes, obviously safety is very important to the extent that any of them may be risking their own safety, the safety of others. I think it's a worthy conversation.
Well, I can tell you, General, that that's just not a reality. Most of the injuries that happen out when people are snowboarding is on account of how wrecked they snowboard. You know, I'm not saying I don't want to be judgmental or anything, but a lot of snowboarders just are wrecked, you know, from the neck up.
What do you mean, wrecked from the neck up? What is that?
No, they're nuts or something, you know?
Yeah, just they're dumb.
Oh, they're dumb. Okay, I get that.
Yeah, well.
No offense, son, but you know, I like you, Jeff, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the smartest tool. I'm not the sharpest cookie in the. I mean, I'm not the smartest tool. I don't know.
You're not the sharpest tool in the shed.
What?
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff, for this information on snowboard culture.
I didn't learn anything about snowboard culture.
Now you guys are talking about getting high.
I want to ask one more question, Jeff. You say that snowboard culture is on the decline and that it's on its way out and that skiing is coming back in and that this generation of snowboarders, they've grown up and become parents and they don't want to risk things. They're going back to skiing. What about the new snow enthusiasts? What about the young kids? What are they going into?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are taking up skiing, you know. Their parents are doing it. They got older brothers and sisters that are doing it. Everybody's doing it, you know, and so they're going, and I want to do it too, you know, like that song says, he's doing it, she's doing it, I'm going to do it too. Have you ever heard that song, Mr. Henry?
No, I have not. I don't think it exists.
All right, well, I'm sorry, but anyway, I think that's it, and I think a lot of times what we do with our spare time is dictated by, you know.
Dictated by what the other people do?
What the other people do, yeah.
All right, so in other words, there is no snowboard culture. There's no saving snowboard culture.
Well, I mean, it's like I was saying, you know, people are skiing. They're going to do it. She's going to do it. I want to be a pepper, too.
Thanks a lot, Jeff Dowder.
Yeah, they're talking about snowboard.
Yes, is that what he was talking about? Snowboarding. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Jack Armstrong is going to join us. And Tom Clements was just released by the Green Bay Packers, one of their associate head coaches. Tom Clements is off looking for a new... And we're going to talk about Tom Clements. Memories of Tom Clements, the quarterback from Notre Dame. You may remember him. 73 Sugar Bowl. Coming up next with Jack Armstrong, world famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray.
Wernfield Jeffries here for the world famous Phil Henry Show website. It is packed full of fun, and it's going to be getting a lot more fun here over the next several months as we roll out the brand new Phil Henry Show website. Brand new design, that's right, great effects, great new portals of entry, fun things to do, pricing tiers, all kinds of fun, joyous things for you subscribers, multimedia experiences, the whole thing's nuts, it's getting nuttier as we sit here. And that's why I encourage you, I demand that you get a backstage pass to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Just like I say on my show, Gargantua Unchained. Just like I say on my show, Gargantua Unchained, The Secret Life of Lizards, you can't have a tail too large. And my tail is a big one. Oh, and also, Phil Henry's website I want to talk about. I'm only kidding.
What a filthy mind that guy's got. However he speaks the truth when he says the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be busting out a bigger, broader, greater image than ever before this year, 2017. Get a subscription now at philhenryshow.com. What a dirtbag.
I thank you very much.
Hey, from a distance, please don't try me.
World famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California tonight. Tonight, it's the BSP chat starts at 9:00 Pacific time. If you're a backstage pass subscriber, then come on over to the website and join the chat at 9:00 with Phil Henry. Things are getting good, man. Phil's got a whole bunch of stuff to tell BSPs, a whole lot of stuff he needs to roll out and tell you. A whole lot of secret information that only BSPs get, especially about Phil's future live performing dates.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is that about?
Well,
What about, Mr. Henry?
I don't want to say. But we are changing and moving into a, well, let me just tell you, we're moving into another venue for the live performances that I do, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm just really excited about it, and I'd like to say at this time that the Hollywood Improv has been one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Oh, so you're leaving the Improv?
I hope it's not like I'm leaving permanent, but I would love to go back. I think they are the greatest. I'm telling you, I could not have hoped for more encouraging people, more professional people, unbelievably wonderful people, and talk about great talent that's there night in and night out, and to be able to have occupied a little piece of the stage over there for as long as I did was just, it was formative, you know.
Right, so don't try to get too many big words crammed in.
Yeah, so. Hey, let me just say this the way I want to say it, okay?
All right, let him do it.
I'm just saying that I'm very grateful for the experience. This year, coming up in 2017, we're, as I mentioned, going to be moving into another venue, and I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity. And stand-up comedy is a absolutely, it is a challenging medium, and the people that master it are brilliant. My hat's off. I can't tell you how much admiration I have for people that do stand-up. It's not what I think I do best. What I think I do best is more of improvisational character stuff. Anyway, and more kind of theater-oriented. So that's the direction we're going to be heading this year.
So what, you just opened your big yap. What's the secret for the BSPs?
Yeah. Well, the secret for the BSPs will be, where is it going to be?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but I heard you go, well, this, that. And, Phil, there comes a point, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to tell everybody the specifics of where and how and what, okay? If you don't mind.
Now you got a lot of people out there going, what the hell is going on here? What are you trying to pull anyway? Are you some kind of an int, right?
No! Hey, General, you're starting that stuff, not me.
General Shaw, don't start stirring the garbage, all right?
Listen, I'm not, far be it from me to stir it up, but I just had a very traumatic, I'm talking to that doubter kid, and he's stirring up memories of me walking around and looking at monkeys going, hey! You know, and it turns out it's in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I get it. I'm a weird ass. You're all normal. Git.
Sorry, but...
No, you know what I'm saying. You're just trying to make me feel like some kind of a weird creep because you want to get your cookies.
Get my cookies?
I'm not talking about you.
Never mind. What a contentious show this has been.
It's been a little stressful.
Yeah. All right, let's get on the program here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show now, our friend. It's Jack Armstrong. Jack Armstrong joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And, Jack, thanks for being with us, man. Tom Clements, he got released by the Green Bay Packers.
Well, Phil, that's right. Tom Clements was released by the Green Bay Packers. I'd say released. I think there was a parting of the ways today between Tom Clements, who was an assistant and associate head coach there with the Green Bay Packers, and Mike McCarthy, who said that Tom Clements will move on to some other interests with this contract expiring. He was 11 seasons with the Packers, started as a quarterback coach in 2006 before being elevated to the offensive coordinator in 2012, and then became associate head coach. He took over the play calling duties in 2015, but then Mike McCarthy took the reins back later that season, and I don't know. Maybe that was the beginning of the end.
So he was calling the plays not last season, the season before.
That is correct, yeah. Tom Clements, as you indicated, Phil, and you too, General, has an extensive history in football, going all the way back to Notre Dame. Tom Clements was the quarterback with the Fighting Irish, with a great comeback win against Alabama. And then one of the most brilliant passes out of the end zone in the Alabama Sugar Bowl game that helped secure the win for the Notre Dame. And then he played in Canada. He played for the Ottawa Rough Riders. What is that?
What, Bud?
You know, he's a foul.
Good Gateson Rough Rider.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Why don't you hold on for a minute there, Jackson. Why don't you grow up?
The guy said Ottawa.
So he said Ottawa Rough Rider. You know, Bud, you're laughing, I think, because you remember your boyfriend riding.
Yeah.
What? What a dirty, filthy, rotten...
Hey, can I finish this, Phil?
Go ahead. Bud, shut up. Go ahead, Jack.
You know, Dickman...
Go ahead, Jack.
I know, but the guy's got me
Now, just consider the source.
Yeah, consider the source. Okay, the source, a mental midget. There. There's the source. Okay? Okay, bud?
Fine, fine. I'm letting you go. I'm letting you move on.
And that don't get you.
Will you come on, Jack?
Sorry. So, Tom Clements, the former associate head coach with the, Green Bay Packers. Here, Phil, if I may be so bold, I'd like to play for you the last few seconds here on television of Tom Clements' pass to Robin Weber in the Sugar Bowl in 1973. That was so exciting, and everybody thought it was exciting.
The most important game of the year.
Notre Dame and Alabama.
I don't know, there's Howard Cosell.
Football is a religion, and Alabama, it's a way of life.
All started at Notre Dame 84
and Notre
years
Dame
ago.
Is on their own two.
Rodney, Leahy, Marsegan. Third down. Clements coming out. There's a pass, and he's got his man.
There's Tom Clements completes the pass to Robin Weber there
in the
1973 Sugar Bowl.
All right, so some people know they were in their own end zone, or they were throwing out of their own end zone there, and it was if they hadn't completed that pass, then Alabama gets the ball in good field position.
That's exactly right. If they would not be able to preserve their win. The other big game was the Grey Cup of Canada. Now, this is a game.
Yeah, do a Grey Cup just because of Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you know, you guys are bringing up the Grey Cup because Phil's dad played in the CFL.
No, I'm not. God.
You see, I'm licking, you know, trying to lip it.
What do you mean lip it?
Well, I'm afraid to check.
What are you guys talking about? The first sports report that I get on this numbnut show and God knows how long.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, Phil.
No.
Phil, these guys were egging him on.
Come on, Margaret. Let's stand in solidarity.
No, I will not. You guys were bugging him and bugging him, and the guy lets out with this numbnut show. Have a little bit of self-effacement. Is that the word?
I don't know.
Well, then forget it.
Yeah, you know.
Get him back, will you, please? Listen, Jack, don't be a clown, okay?
Hey, don't be a clown. I'm trying to do a report on here, and these guys are giving me a hard time about the Grey Cup.
And you guys just shut up.
All we're saying is, because you're all mad play,
just, you know.
Yeah, so anyway, here is the Tom Clements in the Grey Cup game in Canada in 1976. One of the top passes completed in Canada, and this is beautiful.
All right, time is in. Counting down for 40 seconds on second
down. Now, what's going on here?
What's going on? Tom Clements is throwing the ball here down the field, completes the pass at the 22-yard line, and eventually he gets it in for the touchdown.
Bro, what'd you tell me that for?
What?
Why'd you tell me that?
Why'd I tell you what?
That he got it. Yeah, obviously.
I thought because he's going to get a touchdown. Why do you think I'm playing this? Because he didn't get the touchdown?
All right, so Tom Clements, as a quarterback in Canada with the Ottawa Rough Riders, bud, Rough Riders.
I don't care.
Yeah, man, you think Rough Riders is fun because that's probably how you spend your nights.
Yeah, that's how you spend your Friday nights.
Hey, do you...
Go ahead.
These guys are sitting there, and all they're doing is yanking each other.
Who's yanking who?
I'm just trying to get... Now, here's the pass from Tom Clements into the touchdown area.
It's called the end zone.
What?
It's called the end zone.
I know that, but you guys are talking so much. Not you, Margaret. So now here comes Tom Clements with the Ottawa Rough Riders.
I don't care.
And here's Clements going to complete the pass. Come back victory.
Gabriel is open in the end zone. Touchdown!
So there you go, Phil. And those are the two biggest passes in Tom Clements' lifetime, in the whole life that he lived, and blah, 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 blah. I guess this guy McCarthy has got more juice than you think. And if I was him, I wouldn't be talking too much. If I was McCarthy, I wouldn't be talking too much about that because... you know, for my money, I think that, you know, the guy has not been back to a Super Bowl in a while, and he ain't won one in a while, and he's only won one.
So Mike McCarthy's not exactly all that secure.
I don't think so, no.
Jackson Armstrong, any other football news, Jack?
Just the fact that we'll be heading to Houston tomorrow to cover the Super Bowl for the Phil Henry Show. Hopefully I'll be getting some interviews with some of the players. Probably not, because I don't have a press credential.
Well, why did you get him a press credential?
You don't need a press credential. I just want you down there to, you know, cover the atmosphere.
Yeah, cover the atmosphere.
Right.
I could cover the atmosphere just like standing in a sports bar miles away from the stadium.
Why don't you do that?
I just might, you know.
All right, so anyway, Jack Armstrong will be...
Well, you're going to give him... That means all he's going to do is sit there and drink and eat all the finger food.
The what?
The finger food.
What are you talking about, finger food? What is that, some kind of a smart crack?
No, you don't know what finger food is.
No, I don't hang out in sports bars all that much.
You don't have to hang out in a sports bar. Finger food is just little snack food.
Whatever.
All right, Jack, thanks.
Okay, Jack Armstrong report.
There he is, Jackson Armstrong with that report on whatever the hell, Tom Clements.
Well, you know what? With all due respect to Tom Clements, not that I know who that guy is, but did you need to devote an entire segment of the show to that?
That was what Jack hadn't been on in a long time.
Yeah, he's all pissed off about it.
Who's pissed off about it?
Jack Armstrong?
Yeah, he's pissed off that he hadn't been on in a long time.
So we gave him some time.
Boy, Henry, you know, you're really easily intimidated just because Jack Armstrong, Jack Armstrong deserves a spot. Yeah, well, maybe I do, too.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
Don't point your finger at me.
No, you've been really, really off the freaking rails today, okay? And I just,
I don't know, it's just starting with Margaret, lording it over everybody, like her stuff, you know.
Like it doesn't stink.
Right. And then this guy reminding me, this doubter reminding me of when I smoked that one little tiny bit of marijuana and I saw a gigantic ape.
What, coming out of the mirror?
Yeah, maybe it was. You should be in my shoes.
Well...
All right. Well, General, I'm glad that you're still with us, you know, that you're not dead.
What do you mean, dead?
Well, I don't know what happened to you, man, but apparently it was so traumatic that it's affected your entire performance on the show today, and I certainly wish you well and hope that you feel better in the future.
I'm sure that I will, but if you smoke a little tiny bit of weed and all of a sudden you see a gigantic orangutan and it's going, hey... And you realize when you raise your arms, it raises its arms.
Yes, you are hallucinating.
Right. I thought I was...
Dad, you're King Kong.
I thought I was Keeb Kong. Who's Keith Kong? What are you laughing at?
I'll do it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray. I sincerely do apologize for a general shift. Forget it.
I can apologize for my... I'm not...
What?